Welcome to Nintendo Dad's episode 20. On tonight's episode, Justin provides a hands-on review of Mario Party 10. So much Splatoon hype! Awana talks the times, Twitter questions, and so much more on tonight's 20th episode. Cue the music!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson and tonight is March 25th, 2015. Joining me tonight for this Nintendo Dads Podcast is Justin Mastin. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, nothing much. It's Wednesday. I'm excited to be here.
Also joining me tonight is Jesse Waldack, co-editor-in-chief. Is that your official title at VGTribune.com?
Yes.
Yes.
I think there are... initially it was I think Roger and myself, and then now there's also Matthew, so it was like there's three of us, our co-editors in chief,
one of the three amigos of VGTribune.com, Jesse Waldack. What's going on, Jesse?
pretty good. My kids have been busy all day packing up for a trip to Indiana that they're doing with their church group. So they're leaving tomorrow morning, so which means tomorrow is going to be a really rough day with recording tonight and then having to wake up at 6 tomorrow.
Oh, and you're an hour ahead of us too, hey? So you're saying you got to do this in like 6.5 hours from right now.
7.5 hours.
Oh, 7.5, okay. Oh, well, then what are we complaining about here?
But on nights that I podcast, I normally don't get to sleep until 2. So, you know, I'm looking at 4 hours of sleep tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, we always talk about the podcast hangover. That's definitely going to be in full effect tomorrow. Well, hey, it's our 20th episode, guys. We are 20 episodes in. For those of you, we'll just say right off the top of the show, and you'll remind you at the end as well. I hope everybody's going to tiny.cc/NintendoDads20 for our 20th episode. We are giving away a $20 eShop card to one lucky winner. So go over there, and there's lots of ways to enter. And that's just to show our appreciation to you guys. You guys are awesome. So spread the love and enter to win for that. And we'll give that away on our next show. So what do you guys say we head on into the what we've been playing?
Do it.
Let's do it. All right. So... what we've been playing this week, first of all, was it really only this Friday? I had a crazy week. I went and was checking out new schools and all that stuff. This week feels like it has been so long, but I am holding in my hand a Toad Amiibo. Justin, you picked up Mario Party 10, right?
I did. Mario Party 10, correct.
Mario Party 10. Awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Mario Party? I kind of want to have like an actual like Mario Party party.
We should totally get together and do that.
That would be awesome.
100%. I agree with that. Yeah. So Mario Party 10. Picked it up on Friday. If you've played a Mario Party game, I mean, you know, I was challenged with this thought of like, what are we going to talk about and say about it? Because it really is, you know, there's a formula to Mario Party games. And this one, there's a couple things that they offer. They offer what they call the standard Mario Party, which is you, and your people that you're playing with. You get into this vehicle, which this vehicle is a new, idea. They introduced that back in Mario Party 9, where everyone kind of gets in the vehicle. It's very cooperative. You're still getting stars. You're still having mini games that you're playing each other. Each other. I'm really working on my Mario versus Mario, but apparently I can't say each other.
Nice.
You must be in the mood for cheese.
Must be. Cheddar. Must be. And then from there, you go around the board, you collect your stars, and at the end, whoever has the most stars potentially might win, or you might luck out because, you know, you actually traveled the most spaces, and therefore you get this lucky star and you win. The interesting thing about this one is that as you roll the dice, Bowser is locked up. behind these bars. And as you roll the dice, like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, these numbers correspond to bars that are in front of Bowser. Those disappear. As soon as all six are disappeared, Bowser chases you down the board. And then he creates more Bowser spaces for him to activate and kind of do harm to you. So the mini games, I think, you know, they're pretty good. Again, it's a lot of simple motions using just the Wiimote usually. You know, some really fun ones like golfing, typical kind of, you know, jump over this line, or you're invincible and you got to beat some of the fish. So those are a lot of fun. It then offers another version, which is the Bowser Party. And as I mentioned in a tweet, there's this weird realization that Mario Party 10 Bowser Party is essentially Nintendo's version of Evolve. Where... And once you notice that, you're like, it totally is. It 100% is. Where
it's meaning that it's completely unbalanced and one-sided, or what does that mean?
Actually, both.
I've played neither. So,
so what happens in this case is five players. One person is Bowser, and your objective is to defeat the four players that are you playing against. And what happens is you have your hands on the game pad, which is where you're seeing everything. Everyone has their, you know, turn for, you know, everyone kind of goes around and it becomes your turn. You are then given dice. You start off with four dice and you roll the four dice because the four people ahead of you have rolled. So potentially they could be 24 space ahead of you, the maximum 6 times 4, 24. So you get to roll four dice. And then if you roll, let's say 24, you catch up to them and you attack them, and then you get to choose a vicious mini game for them to play against where you control it. So you on your gamepad are either dropping bombs on them specifically that they kind of are a bit of chance, a bit of skill. And the objective there is that they have built up points. So maybe they are, or hearts, they may have 10 hearts. You play them in this battle game. They drop down to, let's say, 5 hearts left because you've taken away 5 hearts on each of them. They can actually perish or die off the board. So all of a sudden the party of four can actually turn into party three. And if all of a sudden there's a party of three and they roll three dice, the maximum they can go is only 18 spaces. Well, you still have four dices, or in some cases you're given a fifth dice or a sixth dice. So it's very unbalanced in the Bowser way. So you can very easily catch up to them and beat them very easily. And then even when you roll like a really low roll, say you roll 12, which is almost impossible, you actually always have the option of, hey, that was kind of a low roll. Do you want to roll again? So it's really unbalanced towards trying to get Bowser to win, which is kind of a fun, idea.
Mm-hmm. So is this like, okay, so like is the idea then like the little kid in the family is Bowser then? Is that kind of...
You could do that approach. In our household, we did Dad was Bowser and everyone else was the party.
Right.
So I played a bit light. So what happened was the first roll I had like 24 and they were at 22. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to like diminish them very quickly. So I kind of rolled again and I was like, oh, look at that. I got, you know, 16. Yay. And kind of held back and tried to give them a bit of a run. But like, even if you're trying to help them out, you are still all of a sudden they're giving like, oh, you're behind. Here's a six dice. And you're like, oh, I really can't not roll six dice. And the moment you catch up to them, you're pretty much like able to always catch up to them. You want them to have a lead that you find difficult to catch up on to make the kind of like, oh, will Bowser catch us or not part of it intriguing. But all of a sudden, like, it's pretty easy to catch up. And all of a sudden that can change the game. Like, my youngest daughter got quite upset because Bowser all of a sudden caught up and she's like, no, Daddy, don't take our hearts. And I'm like, babes, this is a circle of Nintendo life. I'm sorry. Right.
It's a dog eat dog world, kid. Get used to it.
It really is. tough conversations to a 4-year-old. So I think to your scenario though, you're probably right. Like, it should probably be, either balanced properly or have like a younger kid play it. So there's Bowser Party. So I think a very interesting approach to Mario Party is this new edition. I thought it was cool. I thought it used the gamepad okay. Mm-hmm. The third version you have is Amiibo Party. So this is where Nintendo is just stealing your money. So what you do, and also to use or to play effectively in an Amiibo party, I feel like you need the ideal living room situation.
I've heard that, yeah, where you've got to have like a coffee table. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't have a coffee table in our living room. It's just a sofa and the telly. Mm-hmm. So each player needs to have their Amiibo. Each player needs to have a Wii remote, and then the gamepad has to kind of be shuffled around everyone to touch their Amiibo. So when it's your turn to play, let's say Zach, mm-hmm. you touch your Amiibo onto the NFC component of the actual gamepad. Once you do that, you get to activate if there's special things that you want to do. So special dice, or you want to use like a coin feature, you can do that. Now, once you're ready to actually play or to actually like roll the dice, you take the Amiibo off the pad very quickly and the dice rolls.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like you're juggling these three things, right? So I'm sitting on the couch with a 4 and a 6-year-old. Who are like, oh, where's my Amiibo? I can't find my Wii remote. Oh, I'm sitting on my Amiibo. Daddy, can you pass the gamepad? Like, it was like, okay, this is not ideal without, like, I feel like you almost have to, like, set up for, like, dinner. Do you know what I mean? Like, so have the table here. Your Amiibo is on the left. Your Wii remote is on the right. The gamepad is in front of you. Pass the gamepad, like, would you please?
Or you're setting up an actual board game, like Monopoly.
Yeah.
Where you don't want where the board can't move, or otherwise you destroy things.
Yeah, and it very much like, and that actually you're 100% right, Jesse. Like that's how it really feels, is that it should be board game, and that's what they are trying to achieve here. And even when you look at the figures on the screen, I mean, it's just a square gamepad, but the figures look like something that you just pulled out of a Monopoly box. They have that kind of like very static or very static look to them. They're not dynamic like an action figure, but it's just kind of. You could very much imagine someone picking up and moving around, and it very much matches the Amiibos that you would have purchased in some cases, right? These Amiibos that they're using for the Mario Party series are very kind of they look like board game pieces in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They do some really cute things with it, like if you roll the dice and the dice hits one of the characters on the actual board, they fall over like they would a normal board game. Right. So kind of a cute little, tip to the hat. The nice part is as you bring your Amiibos onto the board, you have a four cornered board kind of in four pieces, and you can actually choose like, oh, on the left hand side, I want it to be the Peach or the Princess Peach part of the puzzle. On the right hand side, I want the Donkey Kong puzzle. So you can kind of customize the board in those kind of ways. I think that's kind of a cool feature. Mm-hmm. And all the Amiibos actually do something, even if they're not ones that are like licensed to play in the game. So what I mean by that is that, you can put Mario on the actual gamepad. He activates the Mario character in the game, and you can play as Mario. But if I put the Mega Man on there, you can't play as Mega Man. And they tell you like, hey, this is not a Mario Party piece that you can use. However, by you putting this Amiibo on here, you can get a special reward, just like in Hyrule Warriors,
that's
right?
What it sounds like.
So in this case, you get extra credit points that you can use in the, I think it's called the Toad Shop or whatever, where you can buy new characters or different characters to use. You can buy different vehicles, these kind of things, right? So that's kind of a fun little feature they have. They also have this other really neat component that I think the kids seem to really like, which is called the photo session or Photoshop,
where you saw that there was something like posted that you had posted something. I'm assuming maybe it was your kids.
No, it was me. It was me.
Oh, was it? Kids.
Yeah. Okay, where you cool. can bring in, where you can bring
he
in.
Sounds so proud of it.
Where you can
no,
bring.
No, it was me. Yeah,
it was me. Totally me.
Now I gotta see what you're talking about.
Where you can bring in background pieces that you have purchased for the in coins or in game coins. Mm-hmm. So you can say like, oh, I've purchased the Toad and I've purchased Mario and I can put them in the backdrop of this piece and I can move them around and they can have action poses and I can take a picture and post that. So there's this kind of like creativity Photoshop thing you can do from Nintendo, which is kind of cute. The kids seem to kind of be into that because you can zoom the picture around. So, I mean, it's a good game, but I think, and there was a lot of critique about this game. A lot of people were saying, oh, it's about, 7 out of 10 or 6 out of 10. This is Nintendo's first flop in a long time. I don't know if I'd say it's a flop. I think the challenge is that this game is not designed for you, for me. And I talked about this in last week's episode. It's not designed for you or for me. It's really designed for my kids to play at or to play with and to introduce them into this game. And yes, you know, a 33-year-old man can play this game. It's fine. But when you're looking at what they're aiming for, they're aiming for a little bit of a different crowd with this game, at least in my opinion, they are. I think for me, you know, this is a Nintendo dad's show. So we obviously approach things from a dad's perspective. I love this game because I can play with my kids and they really like playing it. And it's safe. It's friendly. It allows them to be the villain at sometimes, to collectively work together, to play with the amiibos. These are things that Nintendo wants kids to do, which are great. And it's a great game that I can sit around and play with the family together.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these types of games where they're like, oh, they didn't really do anything new. We even saw a little bit of that with the new Mario Kart game, you know, with Mario Kart 8, where it was like, oh, they really didn't innovate all that much on this. And it feels like there's the certain games, like Mario Party is a great example, where even the original Mario Party was probably developed and designed for new, you know, for the same age bracket that it is currently targeted towards. The only difference being is that it was also fairly innovative at the time. And so it's not as innovative to those people who haven't played, who have played, you know, the other 9 Mario Party games or even more than that. Because if you count all the handheld and all of the other ones, but, you know, like it's not going to be surprise you, but it sounds like it's still the same reliable Mario Party gameplay that you've come to expect.
Yeah. And that's exactly it, right? Like if you I was kind of thinking, I was almost in a lot of ways mentally putting it to the same way as I'd put like Assassin's Creed, these games that feel like they come out every year, but I mean, Mario Party doesn't come out every year. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel like
once per generation.
Yeah. So it feels like, you know, what they could have done is they could have spent a little bit more time and love, in this, so for example, for the actual Mario Party game, there's only 6 boards that you get to choose from.
Yeah.
For the Bowser, and they actually say it's 30 minutes is a time limit. That's it. Boom. Like that's how, like there isn't, like there are ones you can say like, this is half an hour. This is an hour, right? Like you could choose between that. There isn't that variety. And with the Bowser Party, there's only 3 boards you can choose from. So it limits those things where I think you're just used to more options. And I think when you're playing games more and more, we're able to customize and they have endless options and things to choose from. This felt a little bit confined in that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you played Wii Party U?
Yeah. So my family here is really into the party stuff. It's really into the party games because, again, you can play with the kids super easy. We own Wii Party U, and I think that's a really good game as well. I mean, same kind of mechanics. It's a board game. You roll the dice. You move forward. You play as mini games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've played that one. I think that was the one I got, like when they had the promotion for Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Where you got like a free game. That was the only one I didn't have. And so that's the one that I downloaded. And I mean, I break that one out with my son sometimes, you know, just the two of us sometimes we'll play that too. And I feel like maybe part of the reason is that they've kind of split their ideas. And if they were to just be like, okay, we'll either pick Mario Party or Wii Party U. You know, like why we need to have both of these franchises doing essentially the same thing. I don't know why we need to do that. Like maybe we should just do one really good one instead of two that are kind of mediocre. You know what I mean? Like
to be honest, when I was playing it, and I think with Mario Party and with the Mii Party, both of them reminded me really more so that I just wish they made a Nintendo Land 2.
Yeah.
Because they're all trying to design this couch co-op gameplay mechanic, which is friendly, which is engaging, and it's enjoyable. And I think there were aspects of Nintendo Land, because Nintendo Land was kind of like the pitch of like why you need the gamepad and how you could do it, how it could be fun. I think games like the haunted house game they have in that, and also the one where you have to chase Mario around the course.
Yeah, you know, that'd be like a great setting, like just Like, even if it is just like Nintendo Land Party, but just the setting with the sort of crafty aesthetic, you know, with like the stitched, you know, sort of upholstery look to everything would be a great aesthetic for a Mario Party type game.
Yeah.
For sure.
The thing that I would find, what I would say about the Mario Party game, and I think even when I think of like the Nintendo Land, is if you grew up with these series, they do some beautiful like tips of the hats and homages in there. In one of the lands, there's this kind of like it's almost carnivalist-ish, and there's what is it? Those rides that go around in a circle, kind of go up and down.
Ferris wheel.
Merry-go-round. A merry-go-round.
Okay.
And on the merry-go-round, instead of being like horses, they have like 8 bits of the turtles.
Oh, Goopas. Sweet.
So there's some really, and there's a lot of really nice little tips of the hat to just the history of Nintendo, especially in the Mario Party or Mario franchise. So there's kind of this like love letter to it in that ways, which I appreciate. But yeah, overall, I'm happy with it. I'm fine. The kids kind of say to me, they're like, "Hey, I want to play it," and I think it's a really it's a game where they just kind of get their hooks right into the amiibos, which is really what they're trying to do, right? Go tell mom and dad that you need 5 or 6 of these amiibos to play this game. But yeah, overall, you know, if you're looking for a good family game, I think you could play. You could either get this one or you could get the Mi Party. And either of those are acceptable options for sure.
Right on. Cool. Well, we'll come.
You said Mario Party was a once a generation thing. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, it isn't. There were 3 on Nintendo 64 and there were 4 on GameCube.
Oh, wow, dude. But then, like, how many were on Wii?
2.
Okay. Well, hopefully we only see one. Well, I guess now they're actually doing like, oh, well, now we have Wii Party U, and then we got Mario Party 10. So,
yeah, I kind of feel like those two teams could just come together and just make a really like big one.
If you count the Wii Party games and the Mario Party games on handhelds, there have now been 15 of these things.
Yeah, and that's what I mean is like if. Just wait and like wait an extra year and a half or wait however long and just make one really big compilation instead. Like, I think that if they were to do a really big one, they'd probably sell more of them, but I don't know. What do I know? So who knows? Cool. So, let's move on to Jesse for a minute here. Jesse, what have you been playing this week?
I have not been playing anything new. I've just been sinking time more into Dragon Quest IV. Or last week when I talked about it, that was maybe a quarter of their way in. And now I'm at the final boss, which I think I probably have to grind a little bit before I can beat it. But I got pretty deep in. There's like 7 stages to this thing. I think I got to the fifth or sixth one. And my problem is I don't use defensive magics very well. I normally just brute force with melee, but on this final boss you can't do that.
Nice.
So nothing really exciting, and probably I think the next big game that I do plan on getting is Xenoblade Chronicles 3D.
Oh, you are going to get that?
Yeah, I am going to get that, which is I think mid-April.
Yeah, I think it's the 10th, so a couple weeks away. Yeah.
So probably my interim game between Dragon Quest IV and that is probably going to fire up Dragon Quest VIII again. I haven't played that since 2008 when it was relatively new, cool. Which is it's a PS2 game.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I just remember that summer of the spring and summer of 2008 was just RPG. It was the year of the RPG for me. Yeah. I did Dragon Quest VIII, Final Fantasy XII, and Persona 4. All 3 of them are 100-hour RPGs.
Holy crap, dude.
So those 3 games are pretty much what I played the entire year.
Yeah.
That year.
The reviews for Xenoblade came out today, right?
Yeah, I saw some 8.5s.
Yeah.
I haven't heard yet. I kind of been trying to avoid them, even though it's depending on if you're in Japan or North America, it's either a 3-year-old game or a 6-year-old game.
Yeah.
But, I I did buy it when it was new on the Wii in North America, but I didn't get very far in it. So I'm hoping being able to play it portably will help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, it seemed like the consensus mainly was, holy crap, this is an amazing game. You should totally play it, especially if you like RPGs. Oh, by the way, it's kind of an ugly game. Was kind of, and I mean, just seeing the trailers, that seemed like the especially the face graphics, you know, like the, like it was just, which seemed like it was kind of crazy.
I'm not surprised they pushed the system on the Wii, and now we're shrinking it by the screen by a fourth.
Yeah, but and I mean, like
better graphics? No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it seems like what they've done is pretty impressive. Is that they've kept the draw distance. But it seems like they've sacrificed the resolution of some of the textures in order to do that. So,
which I think is fair. I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that in a couple of weeks. So right on. I'm going to talk about Codename Steam a little bit, Justin, and then we're going to come back to you to talk about, Captain Toad to round us out. So,
you got it.
And I think you've been playing Codename Steam some more as well, right?
Oh, I have.
And how are you liking it, like, continuing on? How are you? You said you're what, on the fourth mission now?
4-2, yeah. I just got a spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear a spoiler, I'm giving you 5 seconds.
Although I'm pretty sure this has been in the trailers and stuff, this character, right?
Yeah, exactly. Should be, right. So I just got Tom Sawyer, just got him. But yeah, you know what? I really like it. I really like the game. Like I know that people were really slagging it, but I think it's great. Yeah, I'm still loving it. Still loving it.
Right on. Yeah, me too, man. I don't know what it is, but there's I kind of underestimated the sort of setting that it was in and the sort of what it does with you know, these American literature sort of characters. There's a part in the game where, for myself, I had never really read into, like, I haven't done a lot of sort of reading of the sort of source material, but there's this part with, where you are in Miskatonic University, which is, for those of you who are aware of H.P. Lovecraft, that is like a very prominent university that he talks about all the time. It's like this fictional place in Massachusetts, in Arkham, Massachusetts, and they kind of set this thing there. And actually a lot of the villains and the aliens in this game are kind of, they're very inspired by H.P. Lovecraft's sort of mythology that he creates in his literature. And I was just like so interested in it actually that I was like, oh, I have a token on Audible, and here's this anthology of like Lovecraft stories. And so I've started like listening to these as well, which, I mean, has nothing really to do with the game other than it really helps you appreciate sort of what they're drawing from, and has really kind of deepened my enjoyment of the game, is just sort of where they're pulling from. And they'll just drop mentions from all sorts of different pieces of literature, you know, where you're just like, just little mentions here and there. And it's just great. Oh, sorry. So
pretty impressive for a Japanese development team to be referencing so many North American authors.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, like, I don't want to spoil it, but there's around, I think it's mission 11, at the end of mission 11, I think, start of mission 12, it takes this really interesting turn that I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't expect you to go there. But it's really, like, I'm on mission 13 now. I have all of the characters unlocked, and it's just a ton of fun. And I feel, again, like, more so, there were a lot of complaints about how this game got really hard. And I just want to say to people, I don't know if I said this last week, but I know I said it on Twitter, but, like, man, you just got to get good at this game. Like, there is definitely a way to figure out, like, a way to progress through each level. And I feel like once I'll kind of hit my head against a level for a while, and then I'll be like, oh, this is what I need to do in this level. And it almost, you know, those green TVs kind of will spell it out sometimes for you, what the basic strategy of the level is. And then it's just a matter of, oh, okay, that's what I need to do. And then once you do that, then you figure it out, and you kind of, it's just a matter of working your way through the level. So
the people complaining about the difficulty probably have never played a Fire Emblem or an Advanced Wars game. So which, yeah, I've never played them either, but at least I know that they are known for difficulty. So I'm not surprised that people are saying this is a difficult game, because it's the same developers.
Mm-hmm. And it, again, like I said,
and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and it seems like, especially in this game, like there's very much in these levels, like for example, there was a level where I've got to take down two enormous things that, and there were huge guns that would one shot my characters in any, you know, as soon as they see me, the character's dead. Like if I ended the turn and, you know, that sort of a thing. And so once I kind of figured out, okay, well, how am I supposed to do this? So, okay, well, I need to make sure that I have cover, and make sure that, okay, we've got to make it over to this area. But if these enemies see me, then I'm dead. So I have to make sure, then they'll shoot me, which will knock me out of cover, and then I'll be dead. So there's so many things like that you've got to be thinking about as you go through it. But once you figure out the strategy for that level, it's really satisfying because that challenge is there. But every single one of those levels is doable that I've reached so far. So I'm really, really enjoying it. And I, again, like I said before, it's some of the later characters that you unlock that were not announced through all of the press and everything. There's two characters that were not announced in the press at all, and both of those characters are really fun too, and it's just great. So I'm really, really enjoying it. And I think the Metal Madness or March Metal or whatever it was.
March Metal Madness.
Something like that. Yeah, like they did that. I only actually played one round. I haven't had a chance to play a ton of online, but I've gotten my butt kicked every time so far. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they finished this tournament. It was a 3-day tournament over the weekend. I thought they did a great job of quick promotions. It was in my notification center. The only problem that I had was connecting occasionally. And I think that was, you know, like I would say, hey, okay, well, you know, everyone's in bed. I'm going to play a couple matches, because they were short matches. About you know, I think the maximum they could be was 10 minutes, really, was the absolute maximum of them. And I would kind of, you know, go in line, kind of be in the queue waiting for people. And I think, you know, when we talk about like Mario Kart or Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, you're getting online and playing was relatively fast. Like you'd wait, you know, 30 seconds, and you'd find someone to compete. I found with this, I was waiting, you know, almost five minutes.
Oh, wow.
To the point that I was like, yeah, I'm not going to, obviously like no one's online. I'm just going to go back to the solo mission and play that. So it may just be the fact that not everybody is on the game obviously right now, but I think they've got a good infrastructure, great tournament ideas. It looks like fun. There are some things that I don't like. You know, I would love to just challenge you, Zach, to play a game,
yeah,
but we've got to create like separate tournaments.
Yeah, we had to create a tournament online, just so that we'd,
like,
be able to do it.
It was kind of weird. Like I kind of should have been like, oh, your friends, like there was one time where I know you were online playing, because I got the notification in, you know, your friend's online session. I was like, oh, cool, Zach's on. And I'm like, oh, and he's playing Codename Steam. I would love for a prompt to be like, hey, would you like to play Zach in your next match? Yeah, I would. Right.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like be in the queue where I could play you next. But, you know,
yeah,
first world problems.
I really like this. I would love to play a console version of this game too, with like really blow this, art style out, you know, and mm-hmm. really show off. And having now read, you know, having now listened to, I mean, I had a 6-hour drive one way or 5-hour drive one way. So I had, you know, there and back listening to a bunch of these stories, like these short stories. There is so much, if they want to continue to draw from Lovecraft for, you know, for enemies and for aliens and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of stuff there that they could really, that is one thing that I feel like they could have done a lot more with really fleshing out these villains, like the aliens, that they don't really, like it is in Lovecraft, it's written nice because it's really mysterious and it's all about anticipation. And so being able to just see all of these enemies, like they kind of have the similar sort of design, although they add this ice aspect to it, which is a little bit bizarre, and laser beams and stuff, but the basic alien design is fairly similar. I think that they could do a lot there with continuing to flesh out that sort of mythos for the enemies as well. Because at first I was like, oh, well, it's codename Steam, so that means they can just fight whatever they want, right? But it's, oh, no, that's Strike Team eliminating the alien menace. So I guess that means they only fight aliens? I don't know. But so anyways, I feel like they definitely could do a lot with this world that they've created. And I suspect that we're going to see more of that. So, right on. So Justin, tell me all about and I'm sure that there's just tons to talk about here, but the Toad Amiibo integration with Captain Toad, how is that?
Yeah. So actually there is a little bit to talk about. So, for those of you that were unaware, Captain Toad now came in with Amiibo integration. Captain Toad, at least in North America, came out in early December. And I had mentioned it was actually one of my favorite games of the year. Great game to play with the family. My kids loved sitting around playing with it, playing Captain Toad. Very engageable game. So it now has Amiibo support. And I think this is the statement that everyone's making other than the gold Amiibo Mario. I think this was the Amiibo that everyone was going out to buy. Was this Captain Toad. So what you do now, and this adds, you know, we talked about adding another layer to a game and almost like a downloadable content that an Amiibo could potentially add to a game. And Captain Toad's Amiibo, or Amiibo kind of does that. Now, this is not a customized Captain Toad, just Toad. So when you go into your booklet and you've completed levels, so you found all three stars, you have the bonus. When you're in a level that you've completed, now you have to have completed it. If you put your Captain Toad, or sorry, your Toad Amiibo on your gamepad, a pixelated 8-bit Toad then appears in the game. And in that level specifically, and your objective is now to go through the level and find this little 8-bit Toad hidden somewhere in the level. And they call it like hide and seek with Toad. So once you find him, then you use your stylus and tap where you see him on your gamepad. And then you've completed that level, you win a little a reward or an emblem, and it goes on your booklet showing that you've completed it. So I think this is, it's kind of like almost like a, you know, the premise of like, where's Waldo? It should just be like, where's Toad? And it's kind of neat because it's forcing you to go back in the game, find him, really look at the scenery, really look at the level, understand the mechanics, and find him in these little places. So it's a great kind of like, hey, everyone, let's look for him together. But you're still, you know, still having to move Toad, the actual character in the game, sometimes to make sure that you can see the full scope of the environment. So I think it's interesting. The other neat part is that Toad also doesn't necessarily stay in one place. He stays in one place, I should say, but he's kind of mobile a bit. So there's a specific level. I was like searching for him everywhere, couldn't find him, and I'm like, oh, he's got to be by the windows. And he's not at the windows. And I was sitting there for a second, like, where is he? And then I saw him like pop up and then disappear. Pop up and disappear. And I was like, what the heck? And I'm like, he's jumping. He's jumping up and down in front of this window. So it's not as easy as him just being static somewhere. At times he's moving. So you kind of have to really pay your due diligence with it. So I thought it was a really interesting idea. It breathes a little bit more life in this game where you're going back into the game and repeating it. So again, the replay value or the repeatableness of a game. So I thought that was very interesting. One of the things I was not super impressed with, you physically have to put Toad to the gamepad for every single one of the levels that you want to add him to.
Oh, that is... You'd think that they just do like a mode or something, right?
Yeah, as opposed to you could just say, you know, you want to activate the Toad Amiibo? Yes. You put him there and it's like he is now in every single level, not a problem. And you could put him back on your desk. You never have to use him again.
Even if it was every play session.
Yeah, even play session. No, you have to go to every single level and put him in there.
Wow.
So that felt like a little bit of a not a great idea. But I imagine this is the same way that they discovered the issues with like the Mario Kart or Mario Kart suits, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, hey, Zach, let's meet up at Tim Hortons. Can I have your 6 Amiibos? I'll give you my 6 Amiibos. We'll meet here in a week from now. And we have all the suits that we want, mm-hmm. right, for Mario. So... I think it's cool. It's definitely the kids and I are playing it again. We still love the game. And it's kind of a fun layering to it. So yeah, I pick it up and it's a cool little, Amiibo. I think they could have done more with it, but I would have liked to see just like an actual dedicated Captain Toad amiibo.
Cool. Right on. Well, cool. Let's head into the news, shall we?
Do it.
All right, the news this week, we have, I actually threw in another story here, and it's kind of rumor, speculation, rumorness, I don't know, whatever, but we'll get to that in a minute. First off, we had a bunch of Splatoon news come out this week, and the more I see of this, the more I am super excited for Splatoon. It's just continuing to look amazing over time, as we get more and more of a look at it. Justin, what is the news coming out of Splatoon this week?
Yeah, so last week, actually, I believe it was the exact same day, interestingly enough, that Nintendo had their big announcement with DNA, or as the news kind of hit the America.
The America.
I was starting to notice some tweets from some of the video game industry insiders that I follow that were all saying like, oh, I'm catching a flight out to Washington into Redmond today. Oh, I'm heading to Redmond. I saw a lot of this like, oh, we're going to Seattle for a day. And I was like, this is interesting. What's in Seattle, you know, the Redmond area that I know? Oh, Nintendo. I wonder what's going on there. Turns out a week later we found out that Nintendo invited a bunch of business insiders and companies and you know, companies like IGN, Game Explain, some Playboy Playmates to show up.
We missed our memo.
The Nintendo
like,
dads missed our memo, but apparently
Nintendo dads and VG Tribune didn't get our invites.
But they brought them there to have a whole day hands on experience with Splatoon. And the information that we're having coming out of it is that it is an amazing game. There's some great gameplay footage that's now available to access. But one of the things that they did come out very blatantly and say is that there is no voice chat support at all for Splatoon.
Oh.
Now, we had heard this before, and we'd all said, oh, it'll probably be in the lobby much like Mario Kart or Mario Kart. They're saying, nope, none at all. So I thought that was a bit of a bummer.
When it was said before, people were hoping it was some mistranslation from a Japanese article.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we have people with hands-on on it, we know for sure.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. What else was it? They dove into the single player mode a fair bit and says that there's an actually pretty extensive story an opportunity to play. The very interesting statement came out. I think it was Reggie that said they're trying to do with Splatoon what Mario Kart did for racing in the first person shooter. And really change it into this kind of different environment that you're playing in and something that you really want to crave into.
I love sort of idea, because there's so much of like shooters and things like that where it's like, yeah, well, this is kind of fun. And it actually, I don't know if I've drawn this relation before, but the sort of one of my very first shooters, actually, like a third-person shooter, was Donkey Kong 64. And It actually had, like, a multiplayer mode in it that was, like a third-person shoot-em-up type game that was really interesting, because all of the different characters had different guns, right? And so you had, like, Donkey Kong, who had, like, the coconut barrel. Diddy Kong, that was actually the first game that he had the peanut guns. That's where that comes from, is from Donkey Kong 64. And so it's really interesting to see that. I always really had fun with that, but this seems like the third person shooter really blown out. And again, doing what Mario Kart did for racing, Splatoon hopefully will be for, you know, for the shooters. And I think that's great. From what I've seen of what they showed of the single player, I'm kind of like, I don't know. And maybe it was just because they only really showed the tutorial levels, you know, but yeah, anyway.
One of the interesting things that they did mention is they did mention that they're going to have a ranked battle, which will not be actually unlocked until a portion of the player base reaches level 10, which is apparently the level you can reach after having some experience And then what essentially happens is that when you play the ranked battles, players are put into specific pools based on their ranking and range from tier of like A plus down to C minus. And the goal is, for example, that like an A rank player would never be playing a C rank player in squad, which I think is great, right? You want to be playing someone who's in at least the same level of competition as you, so you can have more fun with it. So I think that's great.
So they've got a pretty decent ladder system, which is really nice, actually. That's
So they said that when it drops out, the rank system won't be available to access right away, because obviously people have to get to level 10. Some of the other things that was mentioned that I noticed here was a lot of the stages felt like a very much of a Super Mario Galaxy feel. So you'd complete this because the city is up in the air.
Yeah,
the city's up in the air. You'd play a stage, and then you'd kind of come to the edge of the stage, and you'd be shot off to the next stage, which had that very kind of like Mario Galaxy shoot to it. So I'm very much like you in this case, Zach. This game is looking more and more beautiful. When I saw it originally at E3, I was like, this is weird. I don't think so. And oddly enough, that's the exact same thing I said about Codename Steam, and I was wrong there. this is one of the games that I'm really super hyped for.
Let's root for Justin Batting Zero.
I know, right? Like I hope not, because I think these are some great games to be playing. The other thing we did here come out of, I think it was Europe. A GameStop in Europe, or an EB Games, released the release date for this, and we saw it was the end of May. I believe it's May 26th, at least in the Europe, the Europe as well as the Americas, and which isn't a shock. That's something that we've been saying for a while. Nintendo has not yet confirmed a date, but we fully believe here at Nintendo Dads that it'll be like the last weekend in May, which is the exact same spot as Mario Kart 8 had last year.
Yeah.
This will be the one they're going to use right before going into E3, and I would not be surprised. You know, this is going to be the thing that over the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they are going to hype train this thing like no one's business.
Yeah.
I will not be shocked if we have a Nintendo Direct sometime in April, which is, you know, 75% dedicated to Splatoon in some context. So I think there's a lot more on this. And I'm really excited next week. I don't want to jump too far ahead. We have a special guest in the Nintendo Dad studio next week who has had hands-on time with Splatoon and will give us some of their impressions as well.
Absolutely. Are you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. I think we need to take a quick break here just for 1 second. And we're back.
Got some stuff you want to talk about, Zach?
Wow, okay, and now I'm... Hang on. Hello.
Okay, hello.
We're back.
Greetings.
Okay, weird. Anyway, so next on our list, I guess, on our news list, do we have anything else we want to say about Splatoon? Oh, we didn't talk about the King of the Hill business, right? Is that what that's called? The Splat Zones.
Yeah, so Splat Zone.
They've announced a new multiplayer mode called Splat Zones, where... From what I can tell, it's basically King of the Hill, right? Where where you're trying to hold a specific zone for a given amount of time, and then you rack up points and all that kind of business. So, very cool. I think let's move on to the next one. So there's this Times article with Iwata. Justin, what came out of that is of note?
Yeah, I think he provided some more detail and depth about the decisions they made, about the announcement with DNA, what they were hoping to accomplish. But I thought the interesting thing that everyone kind of grabbed onto was the statement that the Netflix Nintendo live-action Zelda, he said, at this point we have nothing to discuss or to confirm. Right, which made people kind of think that maybe that statement was taken out of context, and maybe they don't actually have anything in the pipe for Netflix to work on. So I thought that was very interesting to talk about as well.
Yeah, it seemed to me like, I don't know why, but it really seemed like this was a bizarre sort of piece of news to begin with, you know, with the whole Netflix Zelda thing. It just seemed very, I guess, a lot more progressive than I was expecting Nintendo to be, and a lot more forward-thinking and smart, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
not to be like overly critical of Nintendo, but for a Japanese company to reach out to Netflix to do the Zelda series, it seemed a little bit much to me, honestly. Considering any other sort of entertainment, sort of TV style thing that they've done up to this point is like the Pikmin shorts. You know what I mean? And so I'm not entirely surprised that the Zelda news has basically been said, yeah, that's not probably going to be happening the way people think it's going to be happening. So.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a good article to read anyways. He just talks about more and more about why they chose to get into the smartphone market when they chose to. You know, there was such a people, you know, investors and people had been calling for it for a while. And they didn't make that move, but they talked about like why they decided to make that move now. So I think it's an interesting article to read. Yeah. So check it out for sure.
Absolutely. And, also the one that I've kind of thrown in here, this is something that falls more under the umbrella of rumors and speculation and maybe a little bit of, you know, just general internet cedery, if cedery is a word. But on NeoGAF, there was a member named D who recently had the chance to speak to a Nintendo of America representative about various things, including the West Coast port strike and the super rare Majora's Mask 3D new 3DS XL. And basically just talking about a lot of interesting things that shed a little bit of light on the Amiibo rarity and supply issues, essentially, that they've been having. A few interesting things were the West Coast strike directly affected. Now, I'm not 100% familiar with this West Coast strike, but there was a West Coast strike with import docks or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so essentially what happened was that apparently there are still, as of this article, which was posted March 23rd, so just over the weekend, that apparently there are still crates worth of January and February Amiibos just sitting on the docks waiting to be unloaded, and that some of the Amiibos that were delivered, you know, especially in the wave, such as like King Dedede, Sonic, Ike, things like that, that those were air shipped in because of these problems, you know, on the West Coast with their strikes going on. And so these Amiibos eventually, presumably, will reach stores, and some of those ones from, I guess it would be Wave 3, and presumably Wave 2 as well, and 1 would potentially arrive at stores eventually. There's also going to be a restock on older Amiibos, especially rare ones like Wii Fit Trainer, Villager, Marth, those sorts of things. And that Wave 4 or 5, I guess it would be the Wave 4, the one that has Ness, Charizard, etc., are having their release dates and pre-orders held because of the port strike as well, because Nintendo wants to make sure the situation with the strike does not affect shipments again, and so they can gauge the market for demand, etc., etc., etc. So basically the idea is that this West Coast strike totally screwed up a lot of the Amiibo shipments, and is probably why we haven't seen this, you know, why we saw this sort of nebulous spring 2015 announcement for the Wave 4 of Amiibo for Smash Brothers as well. So,
and actually, interestingly enough, we actually received a tweet about this last week from our good friend of the show, Brett Babin, who actually sent us a tweet saying, I'd like to share this with you, the class. Thanks to port strikes and people not asking if something's in stock, I figure I'd share these pictures before I tore into it. And he shared us a tweet that had a picture of Little Mac, Mega Man, King Dedede, and the Zelda Skull Kid Majora's Mask that he had just bought.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he picked up all three of these because he said the people just weren't asking for them really anymore.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of crazy, you know, sort of supply issues with all of that. That is, yeah, for sure, just weird. Also saying that the Majora's Mask 3DS really is gone. Like, they're not making any more. If there are some some more that are arriving. Again, it's probably that sort of stocked, that sort of clogged pipe of, you know, all of the stuff that are on those docks or whatever, like pallets and pallets and pallets of just ridiculous amounts of supply. Those will be coming to stores, but it's not like they're sending more from Japan or China or whatever. When they're gone, they're gone. So, as well, this is not necessarily to do with this particular article, but also Sakurai, of course, Masahiro Sakurai, developer and slash creator of Super Smash Bros., has said that the Mewtwo DLC is coming fairly soon. In quotes, he said pretty soon for Smash Brothers, and so that is coming pretty soon. So keep that in mind as well. And
soon,
I think
TM.
Yes, exactly. And so we expect that to be coming as well. When do you guys think that's going to be coming, Justin? What do you think?
I think it's going to be middle of April. Is when they're going to, I think middle of April, they're going to put out a Nintendo Direct. And a week afterwards, they're going to say like, oh, and you know, so let's say it's April 15th, April 22nd, he'll be available to download.
So like a week after.
Yeah. I think they're going to do like a big direct in the middle of April where they announce a lot of Splatoon. They announce the Smash Brothers DLC or the Mewtwo. And they also mentioned the Mario Kart 8 DLC dates.
And I think also the Puzzle and Dragons, mm-hmm, that was something, mm-hmm, from that leaked release schedule as well from Europe, was that May 6th, I believe, was the date for Puzzle and Dragons.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's also coming. So we've got a lot coming up, but also there's that sort of window between things that have been announced and or released, announced and released, and things that are coming. And there's somewhere in there we'll have a direct, I think. So. Right on. So finally, we've got this Renegade Kids sale on the eShop. I am actually very tempted by the remainder of Moon Chronicles 3D, the season pass being cut in half. So it's what, $450 now, right?
I believe. Is the season pass $450 or is it $450 per episode?
I think it's the full thing.
Oh, nice.
It could be. Well, I believe I saw something on that.
I thought you. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go, but I thought you bought Chapter 1 as if it's its own game, and then through the game you can buy the additional chapters.
Right. That's which is called the. If you buy them all together, it's the season pass, which I believe is on sale as well.
I'm taking this to be probably the main the main Chapter 1.
Mm. I saw something that said that the episodes are also on sale though. So,
which is possible, it just may not be in this article from NintendoEverything.com.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing I would say is they've got games. Renegade Kid is a great developer of games. They've got games on the 3DS you can pick up that include Chrono Chronicle. Nope. Moon Chronicles, Xeno Drifter, Mutant Muds, ATV, Wild Ride 3D, Bomb Monkey, and then on the Wii U, Mutant Muds Deluxe. So, they've got some really great games out there now. Zach, you've played Xeno Drifter.
Yeah, I haven't beaten it yet. I played through quite a bit of it, though. It's very, you know, Mutant Muds sort of physics and feel, maybe a little bit faster, and then sort of the layout and platforming of like a Metroid game. So,
yeah, I actually picked up Xeno Drifter because of the sale. I haven't played it yet. But the reviews were so high on it that I couldn't pass it up, so I picked that up. I have Mutant Muds on my Wii U, or the Deluxe on Wii U, and I have Moon Chronicles as well. So Renegade Kid has some great games that they're offering. This is probably a great sale on the eShop, so if you get a chance, stop by and check them out.
Absolutely. And finally, Justin, I am seeing in our notes that you have a rant that you want to talk about 3DS themes.
I do have a rant about 3DS themes.
Oh, by the way, this isn't in our notes either, but there was an update that now allows you to save layouts, mm-hmm, on the 3DS. You couldn't do that before. And for somebody who is, but before you get onto your rant, I am constantly, because I have so many freaking games on my 3DS, I sometimes like to see a huge wall of icons, and sometimes I want them all to be in folders. And now it's nice that I can just go into the settings and hit a button. I'm like, oh, look, there's my huge wall of icons. Now go and load up the one where they're all in folders, and now they're all in folders again. And I don't know why I was so excited about that, but there you go.
I didn't hear of this feature.
So there's an update.
Was that with the last update?
That was with the last update, yeah. And it seems like they're actually coming into – it may be a precursor to that – what is it? The collectible pin, collectible badge or whatever thing that's in Japan. I would love, I'm excited to possibly see that here. Anyway, sorry, Justin, what's your deal with, what's your beef with?
What's my beef? All right.
Where's the beef?
So my rant on 3DS themes, I was like, I don't know how to start with that. So recently I picked up Tipping Stars. Excuse me. And I recently picked up Codename Steam, and we knew that there was going to be themes with this. And I have no problem with themes. I think themes are great, great for customizability. But if I purchased the game, you should probably give me the theme at either being free or at a reduced cost.
Right.
Like, it should say, oh, I see you have purchased Codename Steam. Would you like to purchase the theme for 50 cents or a dollar?
Are you checking the bottom of your receipts?
They're on the bottom of the receipts?
They're not. The Monster Hunter did. Monster Hunter came with one. Yeah, it's like every once in a while there will be a game that will do what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's not a given. It's not every single game.
But I also think that, like, even if it's not every single game, like, that it's on the bottom of the receipt, which is fine. Like, it could say, like, hey, you've purchased this game. I see that we have a theme, Codename Steam. Usually $2.50. Because you've purchased the game, we'd like to offer it to you at a reduced price of a dollar. Would you like that? Sure. Not a problem, right? But it's kind of like, it's such a throwaway idea that you should be able to execute on this, right?
The problem with that is I'm not sure eShop would know what cartridges you've played. That would only work if you bought it through eShop.
That's my point, Jesse. It has to be purchased through the eShop, right? That's the only catch of it. It is when you purchase a game through the eShop, it should register that you have that game. Thus, you either get the free theme or you get it at a reduced cost. I agree that if it's a cartridge one, no dice. But if it's actually through the eShop, and that should be part of, you know, we're buying, when we buy a physical game, we very often get the in-store promo. This is the digital promo.
Yeah, I think so
I haven't gone into the theme shop since it launched, so I don't remember what it looks like. Is it actually part of eShop, or is it its own little standalone store?
It's its own shop.
So it's possible that it doesn't even care and look at eShop data.
Oh, probably not.
But at the very least, it should give you a code. No, I agree. I think it would definitely be a nice gesture, but they're, not like, just to play devil's advocate, you're basically like asking them to just give money away.
But in all fairness, I just gave you 45 of my dollars.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and not only that, but I think
give me two back.
Well, how hard are these things to make?
Yeah, and not only that, but I think that they would be smart to offer these more often to get people in the habit of going into the theme shop and downloading these themes, putting in the code in the theme shop so that you can get this theme. I think that's a great idea and a good way to drum up interest for the theme shop. I'm looking in here right now. I did actually buy the Codename Steam one, even though I'm like, I'm actually not super crazy about it. But I bought it anyways because I'm a weirdo.
It's a nice theme.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's, I kind of was hoping to have like maybe some character art instead of whatever these weird airships and stuff are, you know, but the music's still good. I was hoping for the anthem, sort of singing anthem of Codename Steam instead of this sort of whatever this is. Right. On the 3DS
montage
there.
Montage music?
Yeah, the sort of montage like as you're preparing your team music instead, but you know, I definitely see what you're saying. I think that it's a good idea, although this isn't something that I think that we should necessarily always expect either. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, and I mean, like, this is not the hill to die on for, like, I will never be a Nintendo fan based on this. But it's kind of those things like, hey, listen, I just purchased this a week ago. You could have, you know,
at the very least, here's the thing that really does bug me about it is that when Codename Steam came out and I was like at the pinnacle of my hype for this game, there was no theme. And then a week in, they had one theme and they're probably going to release another one in 2 weeks. And by that point, I don't know if I'm going to want another theme, but I would have bought it if it was out the same day as the game, well, you know?
And I would actually agree with, like, Tipping Stars was the exact same case.
Yeah, like, Tipping I just Stars noticed, oh, there's a Tipping Stars thing. It seems like the themes are a really good way to promote the game. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I really like this theme. It's a really cool-looking theme. I like how this game looks.
Maybe not the I'll other buy way the around.
Game. Yeah, not like, oh, well, you know that game that you spent $20 on? How about you give us another $2 and you can make your system look like it? Well,
yeah. See, I'm not really a fan of microtransaction.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of themes in the first place. The reason being, why do you turn on your system? Is it to look at a pretty menu or is it to play a game?
Why not both? That's kind of how I feel about it.
can't do both at the same time.
Well, and especially when you look at like the other 3DS with the faceplates, right? Like the theme on the inside, you very much want to try and match or customize the, you know, to match your outside feature, right? So it shows a bit of, hey, this is the stuff that I like, and it's kind of very cool skin and wrap. And I think, you know, we don't have the faceplates here in the Americas. Mm-hmm. This is a really great way to kind of have like a customized, like this is, you know, when I bring over my 3DS and Zach and I, you know, are there, this is distinguishably mine because I have a different skin to it. It looks a little bit different. You know, and these are things that interest me. These are things I like. You know, it's the same reason we save pictures onto our iPhone. It's not the stock generic image that Apple put on there, right? We want to customize things.
Yeah, like just looking at the themes I've bought on the theme shop so far. So starting from the oldest one, obviously there's all the colors and stuff like that. I have the Zelda Two Worlds, which is like the Link Between Worlds theme. NES Jumping Mario. Oh, here's a good one. Sonic Boom Shattered Crystal. That was a free theme, just to be clear.
I hope so.
A Super Smash Brothers theme. Famicom Memories, which I got as a free download for getting Ultimate NES Remix. I have a Pokemon Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire one that's pretty cool looking. Majora's Mask one, a Monster Hunter one, and a Codename Steam theme. So, like, I have several themes on here, and I actually have it set up so it'll just shuffle your favorites, and so I'll just
I've got,
have it shuffle. It's pretty
fun. I've got black and blue.
Nice. So I don't know. I really do like it. I think it definitely though is a matter of personal taste, whether or not you want to customize them or not. And I think it's definitely fun to change it up, but I just. It's weird the way that they're rolling these out right now because you would think that they would roll them out beforehand. So anyway, I like it, Justin. I agree with your rant. So
Justin's rant.
Da-da-da. All right, let's head into our listener mail, shall we?
Do it.
All right, so we reached out on Twitter earlier this week, and we're asking for some great or for some feedback for and questions for this episode. And first off, we have Sassy Guy Zelda saying, "I'm on episode 9. Recently discovered your podcast. Really enjoying it. What about the old Nintendo cartoons?" So, Jesse, let's throw it to you. That is the question. What about the old Nintendo cartoons?
They
what
were
about
new,
them?
I loved them. You go back to them today, and oh my god, they're crap. But I did. I when they first started the Super Mario Super Show, you know, the Mario cartoons ran Monday through Thursday. And then they had the Zelda cartoon on Friday. So the whole first season was, you know, had this with ultimately go for 13 weeks before they finally play all their Zeldas. So it was always fun to watch come home from school on that Friday to watch the Zelda cartoon. And then I think after that first season, then they started going to Saturday mornings only. Yeah, that's when Mario 3 launched, so they started getting the Koopa kids in the cartoon.
See,
I bought the DVD of the Zelda season and tried to watch it, and it's hard to watch.
It really is. I haven't seen a ton of it.
Excuse me, princess.
I have more memories about the Super Mario Brothers Super Show or whatever, and
with Captain Lou.
The guy. Yeah, the guy who didn't he die?
The rubber band wrestler from the 80s.
He was. I mean, like that was. I think a little bit better. It's interesting to see the character designs. One of my favorite things about seeing that is going back and seeing some of the character designs of some of those characters before the actual video game systems required them to kind of come up with a style, and so it was up to the animators to come up with the style instead. So you look at like Bowser and Princess Toadstool. I guess it was he actually King Koopa or was he Bowser? I can't remember. I think they maybe called.
I think they called him King Koopa, and then this is also before she was known as Peach. So
yeah,
she
it was just Princess Toadstool. Yeah, and so many of those things like that where it was up to the animators to come up with that sort of visual style instead of Nintendo proper, like the game designers to do that. And it's really cool. I love the design of Bowser in particular, where he's kind of this like, this sort of bumbling, angry idiot sort of guy, it's really fun. And honestly, I feel like some of that, like they're a little bit more lovable and endearing in those old cartoons. Like, Bowser in particular, where he's just like, he's just great. He's just such a great, like, Saturday morning cartoon villain, I really enjoy those old Mario cartoons. But having said all of that, like, the live action parts were not very good. Like, they were pretty bad.
The funny part is, I think the live action parts hold up the best versus the animation. If you're going back to it today.
Yeah, well, they're a lot more like, they're like kind of slapstick and kind of, they're kind of like, I don't know.
But I always enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I'm trying to find out what year that season one is, because, I'm saying I came home from school, and still I think this is late enough that I might have been in high school, mm-hmm. but where, everyone else, most people who have memories of this are probably... they remember it from their elementary school days. Apparently there were 75 episodes.
Oh, wow. Really? Holy smokes, dude. That's crazy. Justin, what about you? Do you have any feelings about the old cartoons?
Yeah, I remember watching it as a kid as well. And I think this was still when Nintendo was still very much trying to define what their identity was for Mario. And that series, and it very much was kind of in the vein of Super Mario 2, right? Toad was a character that was introduced, so was Princess Peach, a little bit more fleshed out as well. So I do remember it just being a little bit ridiculous and over the top, but it was funny. I think that this is an interesting idea. We talked about last week the partnership with DNA going into mobile, trying to capture that younger audience. I would not be shocked if this becomes part of some kind of initiative. And we talked a little bit about the Zelda live action series on Netflix. Imagine if Nintendo goes to Netflix or something and says, we have an animated series that we now want to put on as well. And this becomes the hook for kids of like, oh, and by the way, if you want to watch more of Mario, make sure you download the game or check out, I think that this could be, if Nintendo decided to make another cartoon, it'd be such an easy bridge application for kids to get into the smartphone and smart devices to play the games there and then transition on to the hardcore systems later.
I was just thinking it'd even be interesting if they were to just release a sort of app where you could download the app for a particular... I'm thinking... similar to what they did with the Pikmin shorts, mm-hmm. Where they could just release an app that is all of this new series, like, or it's like Nintendo TV and you can get the app on the 3DS, Wii U, but also have smartphone apps as well, or iPad app or whatever, and watch this TV show straight from there, and, you know, lace their own advertisements for everything straight into that as well. Mm-hmm. That could be pretty interesting. So,
yeah, I think, and as I do recall, and I'm not 100% sure, I was at some point, I believe Super Mario, the TV show, is streaming on Netflix US, I believe.
Oh, that makes, it's not, you of course ended though with that sentence with the two letters that makes me sad.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers show, I believe it was streaming on the US.
Yeah, the show, I checked the dates, the show started in 1989, which would have put me in 10th grade.
Mm.
So 25 years ago, because that's how old my daughter is right now.
I was 4 years old at that point. I just want to say,
yeah, I'm seeing season one is currently on U.S. Netflix.
Oh so man!
If you are traveling in the Americas or have the access to U.S. Netflix, check it out for some fun. I know I sat down with my kids a couple months ago and watched an episode, and it was a little ridiculous.
That's pretty awesome.
And now if we think this show is bad, you know what show is worse? Captain N, the Game Master.
Oh, I need to look into this stuff, man. Like, what's... Okay.
It was Captain N was a show that put in a lot of the third-party characters. They had Mega Man, you know, in addition to Nintendo characters. So they had Mega Man, Kid Icarus, Simon Belmont, probably one or two others that some like I'm forgetting as the heroes, and then as the main villains were Mother Brain, Eggplant Wizard, and King Hippo.
That's right. Yeah, the Captain and the Game Master. Yeah, check it out on YouTube, folks. There's definitely some YouTube videos about this.
Oh man,
and they're it looks like they are surfing on a Game Boy.
That's sweet. Eggman Wizard as a villain is like terrifying, by the way. Just saying. Right on. Well, let's move on to our next.
Eggplant Wizard was comic relief, and even worse than King Hippo, you know, nice. In that show.
Nothing quite as terrifying as his like the next level up in Kid Icarus Uprising, which is the Tempura Wizard, which he instead of turning you into an eggplant, he turns you into tempura shrimp. So
nice.
Yum.
Yeah, nice. Pretty terrifying. So next in our next question comes from, of course, Brett Babin, loyal listener of the show, says, pick your brains about hypothetical. Say Yoshi Amiibo line for Yarn comes out, for the Yarn Yoshi game comes out. Does Nintendo go all in about with Yarn Yoshi?
With Yarn Amiibo.
Yarn Amiibo. Wow. I can't read tonight.
I think that's an interesting approach. And I think the question essentially is, you know, are they going to make a whole bunch of Yarn Amiibos?
If they do, you're going to want to see all the detail. And I'm not sure if Nintendo wants to go that far.
Here's what I think is, you know, I mean, with Majora's Mask 3D, they came out with a bundle that had the Skull Kid figure, right? And with the most recent Mario Party, they released it with the Mario Amiibo in the box. I can absolutely see like a very near future where every single first party Nintendo game has a limited edition run of Amiibo packaging where they have a special edition Amiibo for that game, you know, where they have the Yoshi Amiibo figure, even if it's just one figure that comes with that game. And they only do one, you know, a limited run of one Amiibo, you know, so they have a Yarn Yoshi Amiibo that is just coded as Yoshi for everything else, and maybe you can use it in the game, but other than that, it's just this really nicely detailed figure, instead of packaging those other weird things like a scarf or like that Skull Kid figure or something like that.
Scarf.
Right? Like, was that Hyrule Warriors, you know, and yeah. These are going to be things that are... hopefully a little bit more distributed than some of these really weird bundles have been. But
apparently in other regions that scarf was more widely available, but in North America it was only available at the New York store, and it only had like 300. So people were standing in line and still didn't get it.
Yeah, but I can definitely see them releasing maybe more on the scale that of the Mario Party 10 bundle with the Mario Amiibo. I can see them making a bundle like that. I don't think that they want to be in the business of filling, you know, tons and tons and tons of, like, filling the market with every single game has an Amiibo. But and I think that that's why they have the Super Mario line of Amiibo is for that specific reason. Is because there is your Yoshi Amiibo right there. You're not going to need another one. But I can see for a collector's item in the limited edition that they could start putting those Amiibo in all sorts of different packages.
And I think Brett's question also boils down to, like, you know, the going all in for the yarn games, right? So all of a sudden you've got Kirby's Epic Yarn. You've got Yoshi's Woolly Yarn, right? Like, and then all of a sudden, you know, how far down this rabbit hole do you go with yarn figures? Right. So I think you're,
Link yarn.
Yeah. Like, I think you're right. I also agree, you know, Brett, gave us another tweet, says, I would imagine they would cost a whole lot though. And to your point, Jesse, like, the detail on those has to be pretty fine.
Yeah. And they're having supply and demand issues with Amiibo anyway. They really want to mess with having a limited run of a one-time unit that comes with a game. That's just going to cause more problems.
Yeah, and I think kind of what he's getting at as well is that the, you know, that these are not, that if it's like a really fancy sort of collector's figure, that this may not be your typical Amiibo that's made out of this cheap plastic, that it would actually be made out of some sort of yarn, you know, potentially, you know, wound up, you know, the sort of wound together yarn as well. And I can't
keep it away from your cats.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. I think that kind of thing is better suited to people on Etsy who are making some pretty amazing things, and you can definitely find stuff.
That's not going to be a $12 unit.
Yeah, no way. No, I think that that's something that they want to stay as far away as possible from. But
here's a game for $99.99, $60 for the game and $40 for the Amiibo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I like the idea, but I think that it's going to be limited more. Again, I don't think that Yarn Yoshi is the game for that either. I think that Yarn Yoshi is a good sort of fun title, but it's not going to draw. There's that sort of, if there's a Venn diagram of people who will buy Yoshi's Woolly World and people who will buy big expensive collector's editions, and the overlap is pretty small, I think.
Yeah, well, they've been pretty smart with the Amiibo. They're two main lines. You know, Smash Brothers, it's a party game with a crap ton of characters. Mario Party 10, party game. Not as many characters, but still more than a handful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have to keep this two group games that have many characters, not just one or two characters in it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Right on. Any other thoughts on that? What's our final question for the day?
So our final question is from Delta Dawn, who says, do you think Nintendo has anything up their sleeves for E3? Anything that could be a major that hasn't been leaked? I think this is a really great question that Delta Dawn's asking on Twitter, because Nintendo, you know, obviously barring off of last week's, DNA announcement, like, it kind of felt like that announcement, the content they revealed, felt like something they'd probably want to reveal at an E3. But it was you know, just a press conference. So the question is...
That meeting was more for the investors.
Sure was, but a lot was revealed.
That was Iwata telling the investors, we're not giving up the dedicated gaming business. We're not just dumping it and going to mobile. We're sticking with this. So that was kind of more of a slap in their face than anything else.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it would typically be an announcement where you'd say, you know, you'd see something like this at an E3 where you talk about, yeah, by the way, now we're doing mobile. Now we have a new online service. Now we have a new console, like, bang, bang, bang.
I agree, but I also agree that he had to have said something to the investors that day.
Sure.
Otherwise, there'd be even more confusion.
Sure, absolutely.
What are you going to do with Wii U? It's not doing really good. Are you going to dump it or not?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So I agree with what I can talk. I agree with what Iwata did. That's a lot of W's.
Yeah, I agree with what he did, but I think, you know, the question that Delta Dawn's asking is, you know, hey, is there anything that these guys have now left up their sleeve? And I do want to say to Delta Dawn, like, we will be having an episode prior to E3 where we're going to have a predictions episode for what we think is going to occur. I think they probably still have some things up their sleeve. I don't necessarily can think of, like, what that would be up, off the top of my head right now, but, you know, you've got to remember that last E3, this is the same company that introduced us to ideas like Splatoon, Codename Steam, Mario Maker, busted out Zelda, Star Fox, right? So I think they have things up their sleeve. I think we all can probably guess, like, there are things we are going to see. We're probably going to see a Metroid. I wouldn't be shocked if we maybe see a Mario, another platformer, potentially. I don't know, maybe. So I think there are some things up their sleeve, but I don't know if there's as much. There's so much information that's already out in the internet as it goes around that are the surprises necessarily there? And I almost kind of equate this to the same thing like Apple, right? Like, we all knew what the Apple Watch was going to be before Apple announced the Apple Watch, mm-hmm. right? With specs being released. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Does Nintendo still have anything up their sleeve for E3?
I think they have to.
Because
right
so.
Now we only know of one or two things at the end of this year. We don't know if anything is going on in 2016 yet. So they got to have something.
I think they're gonna need to sell the idea of Amiibo on 3DS a little bit more. And I think that looking at 3DS, what do we have that we know is coming up other than Puzzle and Dragons and, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D? Those are the only two games that are coming up that we even know about that I can think of. Right? So obviously, there's going to be a new Pokemon game at some point this year. We don't know what their big holiday title is going to be yet. So 3DS, will expect a couple of things there and sort of lay out what the rest of 2015 looks like, as well as teasing what 2016 is. So my guess is Metroid, something Metroid, whether that's 3DS or Wii U. Although, come on, Metroid Prime 4, please. That'd be awesome. As well as, who knows, do you guys think that they'll show off any of their mobile stuff yet? I for sure think that they're going to outline their membership, at least very slightly, their membership plan.
I think the membership plan, even though it's not going to be out until fallish, is something that they definitely have to talk about. While I don't think we're going to see anything on their mobile scape yet, I think that's too soon.
I think if we see mobile, we'll see like a sort of idea of, you know, how smartphones, you know, maybe see a preview of the smartphone app, right? Of maybe like the Miiverse app or something like that, that is, or the Nintendo app that they've teased. Just now you can have your Mii, you know, well, you can create a Mii on your smartphone or something. Maybe
just don't turn it. Just don't turn it into a 20-minute demo like the Nintendo Land ended up being in 2012.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe that is better suited for a either pre-E3 sort of thing, similar to what they did. Remember a couple of years ago when they had the pre-E3 sort of presentation of this is what the gamepad is and all that kind of thing? Maybe it's either better suited there or in the inevitable Nintendo Direct like a week or two after E3. When they start announcing stuff like that. Because, I mean, they've done that the last couple of years as well. So
that also might be a good one for their on-show floor streaming show.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to do that again, which I hope they do.
I'm sure they will. They had that had so much positive feedback last year that I can't anticipate that they wouldn't do that, which is a lot of negatives to say I think they'll do it. So, yeah, I think that that's definitely a good idea for them to do that. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on that? I think that about does it.
Yeah, no, and thanks to Sassy Zelda Guy, Brett Babin, and Delta Dawn for reaching out to us on Twitter. We love it when our I don't say fans, but when people engage us on social media and ask questions, and we can bring it up here in the show and talk. So feel free to contribute more and more to the show. We love it. So thank you very much, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for everything that you do for us. And thank you once again. That is episode 20 in the bag, gentlemen. And thank you once again to all of our listeners for supporting us so far these 20 episodes. we're young and spry still. And yeah, I don't know what that means, but it sounded good, I guess.
That's not what the gray in my hair says.
Well, it's fake it till you make it, I guess. I don't know. So once again, we're giving away $20 in eShop credit around the world, by the way. I don't know if we made that clear. Head over to tiny.cc/NintendoDads20, and we will be closing those for entries on the last day of this month. And we'll be giving that away on our next episode. So stay tuned for that. And you can go back every day and continue to increase your chances of winning. So thank you once again for everybody. You can follow us on all of the social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+. Look for us at Nintendo Dads on all of those things. Email us at nintendodads@gmail.com, twitch.tv/nintendodads. You can leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OCRemix.org for the music throughout the show, as well as Carter Johnson for our amazing artwork. You can check out her artwork at megacarter.tumblr.com. As well, download us from iTunes. Make sure you're subscribing over there and give us a rating. That helps us out a ton. Go and that'll help us get into the ear holes of as many people as possible. iTunes, Stitcher, and of course, VGTribune.com. Gentlemen, what are your final words for this evening?
I used it up with my gray hair comment, I think.
Awesome.
I did not say Mario. I said Mario for almost the entire show.
That is true. And you know what? You corrected yourself most of the ones that you did say Mario, which is great.
It can learn.
Yay. All right. We'll see you guys next week, everybody, for episode number 21 of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. See you later.
Bye. Bye-bye. Did you see we got called out on Twitter for how we say ocarina as well?
Oh, yes. That one, I was like, that is just going too far, man. It, like, ocarina, ocarina, like, let's just chill out with the whole...
That one is legitimately debatable.
That one, I think so, too.
That's like potato or potato, but... Like,
come on.
But, yeah, but there definitely is the difference between Mario and other... Well,
And our good friends at Character Crunch actually called their most recent episode "Why Dave Hates Mario Galaxy."
I saw that.
I was like, "You guys are jerks."
Oh, uncalled for.
Well, they're not really jerks. They actually sent us a tweet today saying good luck. So we actually like the Character Crunch crew. But,
yes, we do.